Blog Talk Radio.
It's time for Breathe Again Magazine, the radio show. A moment of hope, inspiration, and solutions. Listen to real-life testimonies from women and men just like you who have gone from victim to victorious. Sit back, listen, connect in the chat room, and share the show with a friend. Here's your host, author, and motivational speaker, Nicole Cleveland.
Hello, 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 and welcome to Breathe Again Magazine, the radio show. I am your host, Nicole Cleveland, and I get to do what I love and love what I do each and every Saturday, and that is bring you testimonies of faith, victorious testimonies of faith, testimonies that give God the glory for the great things that He has done and is doing in our lives. Hey, I want you to know that God is no respecter of persons. If He did it for the guests on this show, He will definitely do it for you. The goal of my show is to ensure people are not suffering in silence like we once were. We want you to know that you're going to make it. We want you to know that, yes, you may be going through a rough period right now, but God is in control. So hang on in there. I want you to share the show with a friend. Share the show on your social media pages. Let people know that there is hope out here for you. I'm so excited about today's show, and I'm excited that you decided to join me. For my first-time listeners, thank you so much for joining me. And for the family, thank you, thank you, thank you. I appreciate you so very much for coming on each and every week and sharing the show and encouraging me. You know, I can't do what I do by myself. I am not an island all alone. I need my brothers and my sisters, and you show up each and every time. So thank you, thank you, thank you. You know, if you have a powerful testimony, I want to interview you. If you have a powerful testimony, I'd love to have you on the show. Remember, what you've gone through was really not for yourself. It was for you to go through, come out, and share it with somebody else, so that they know that there is hope out there. There is hope, and you're not unique in your situation. You know, the same tears that you cried, the same thing that you've gone through, somebody's going through today. Will you share your story on Breathe Again Radio Show? Go to breatheagainmagazine.org. Click share your story, and you can click that. You can fill out that submission form. My team will contact you and get you scheduled on the show. Somebody needs to hear it. Hey, follow us, follow us, follow us. Connect with us. I hate when I say follow us because I don't want you to follow me. I want you to follow me as I follow Christ, but I want you to connect with me on our social media networks. You can follow us and connect with us on Facebook, Breathe Again Magazine, on Twitter at Breathe Again, and you can also connect with me at Nicole C. Online, at Nicole C. Online. I share little doses and moments of hope and inspiration and solutions, so I'd love to connect with you out there. This show is fabulous. I have Holocaust survivor author Roman Ward in the first half. He's going to talk about his book, Hanging Hitler's Long Johns. And then in my second segment, I have Shayna Joseph, and she's going to talk about her book, A Young Girl's Testimony, From Disastrous to Evangelist. I don't want you to go away, but we're going to go ahead and play our prayer, and we'll be right back. So don't go away. We'll be right back.
Father, Father, you hear our hearts this morning. We do not want to settle. We do not want to find our comfortable position and put up our tent there and be happy with you blessing me and mine. Father, we understand today that forgiveness and reconciliation and blessing and favor is given for reason, Lord God. It is given for purpose, Father. And today, God, we say, forgive us, Father, when we have taken on this attitude, Lord God, of all you've done. Father, use us, God, use us, pick us, choose us, Father. We want to spend ourselves. Father, I want to get to heaven with a life poured out, not with a life that looks perfect, Father. I want it to not look good, I want it to be good, Father. We love you today, Father God. We love you today, Father God. We love you today, Father God. Let our love be seen, Father God, on this earth. Let our love be carved out, Father God, on the pavements of our neighborhoods. Let our love be carved out for you, Father. Oh, Jesus, for the lonely. Lord, for the state that we were in. We were in that state, God. Yet someone bothered to take the time and present you to us. We'll never, ever take it for granted. And in turn, we live our lives as a thank you. As a thank you, Father. As a thank you.
Amen, amen. That is the prayer we pray every Saturday right before we go into our first segment, and it really just sets the atmosphere because I know that's my prayer. I want my life to be good, not just look good, and I want to wake up every day and live my life as a thank you. You know, there's so many people that are going on each and every day. They're passing away. They're leaving this world, and every day that we get to see, it should be a thank you to God, and that's what we do, and that's what we say. So let's go right into our first segment. Now, my first guest is author Roman Ward. Now, he survived and defied the Holocaust. When he was 12, his father, knowing he wouldn't survive, charged Roman with saving his mother and sister. Now, get that, at 12 years old. With only 3 years of formal schooling, that means he stopped at the third grade. He relied on his wits and instincts to outwit the Nazis and Polish bounty hunters. Now at 87 years young, Roman attributes his survival and his later success in life to God. He says his is a life of miracles. He's the author of Hanging Hitler's Long Johns. Roman, welcome to the show.
Yeah, well, welcome. Welcome.
Yes, thank you so much for joining us on today, and thank you so much for sharing your story. You have such a remarkable and phenomenal story. I want you to how to describe to the audience how you would describe who Roman is. I said a little bit about your background, but what do you want people to know about Roman Ward?
No, everything is, like you say, it's on God. I mean, all my life was miracles. I didn't even know as a child that God was on my shoulder because anything happens, it's all miracles. You know, he told me to go, I wanted to go left, and a voice told me to go right. This is how we survived, because my mother was like a zombie. She lost her husband, she lost the whole family. We lost old uncles and cousins. You know, I had a lot of uncles, and each one had kids. Not even one survived. You know, all the children. First, they were killing the kids. So my mother was like a zombie, and she just followed me. She didn't want to go. She says, everybody else dead, why should I live? But I was pushing forward, and there was my voice from God to tell me what to do. And it's all the whole book is just miracles. Nobody can explain
it. You had a big charge, Roman. Roman, you had a big charge on you. Your father said, take care of your mother and your sister at 12 years old. You did not have a formal education. You didn't know what to do, but you relied on God, and you survived. Talk to me about your survival instincts in those moments.
I didn't know it was God. I mean, there was something in me telling me what to do, and my mother didn't want to leave the ghetto. She said if she had a brother and his wife, she was a dentist, and she stick with them, and then she says whatever happened to them, what happened to us? And I said, no, we got to leave. And she didn't want to. So one night I just went to my, I had some Christian friends, and I went to stay with them. I says, I'm going to go on my own. And then she had no other choice. And she says, so I wanted my sister to go. But my sister said my mother looks a little Jewish, and she was afraid we get the call. Well, as soon as you leave ghetto, they kill you. So there's no, you know, no court, no nothing. They just give you a bullet out to torture you or whatever. So they knew anybody that leaves the place is going to die. So she was sure something's going to happen to us, and she didn't want to go. So she disappeared, and we are here. We were here. It's amazing. It's just...
So your sister went with your mother, and you went solo?
No. I went on my own at night to walk away, and I told my mother I'm going on my own, which was not true. I wouldn't go by myself. But this is what I make her do it. I knew that if I do something like that, she'll follow me. So the next day when I came, we decided to leave, to go to Warsaw, to go to the capital of Poland as Christians because we had false papers. We bought.
And so you were able to pass.
False papers for both of us. Yes. And I was blonde and blue-eyed. I looked like a Nazi. The Germans always was telling me that I must be German. Because this is what Hitler wanted. He wanted everybody to be blonde and blue-eyed. And he looks like a pig. He and all his people around him look like ugly. And Jesus, he just wanted some blonde and blue-eyed people.
Yeah.
I don't know why.
And so when you came over here, how did you survive? What age were you? And
I was
did someone take you under their wing?
Yeah, I was here 26 when I came with a wife and two kids. Just wife. I didn't have any children. My children were born here in this country. So I came on Mauritania on a big Cunard Line ship from France, from Le Havre. And my mother was waiting because I didn't see my mother 6 years. I was away from her, fighting for my country.
And so when you were reunited with your mother, how was that? You were reunited with your mother and your sister, or just your mother?
No, my sister was killed. She disappeared. We don't even know what happened to her. It says in a book, you know, that there was a lady going with her, and she was, the last time she saw her, was standing in a line, and that's it. She must have given up. She was, I don't know. She didn't want to live anyway. She said, they're killing everybody else. Why should I live? What?
How old was she?
I think she was 18 by the time.
Okay. So, Roman, you tried to take your mother's journals because your mother asked you to do something with the journals. What was that?
You know, my mother wrote a book for 25 years. And I couldn't listen. We never shared. I never shared with my mother what went through with us because I was very depressed and I was thinking to kill myself all the time. I says, why should I survive and everybody is dead, especially my father and all the family. So she was doing on her own. And there was a television show, Queen for a Day or something like that. And she was on it. I even took her to the station, and she was even telling them with a broken English that she wants to publish a book and never happened. So I told my mother before she passed away, I said, before I die, the book is going to be written, because I never shared with her whatever I did, because many times we couldn't even talk about it. So finally the book is here. And it looks like it's a great book because I'm getting a lot of letters from people that read the book. And a woman called me that she couldn't sleep all night. She was reading the book, and looks like people like my book very much because it's all true. I mean, there's no fiction in there. It's exactly the way it happened.
And it took quite a few times to get it published. Is that correct?
Yeah, we were looking for a publisher because these Holocaust stories, there's so many of them. But none of them is like mine, because everybody, you know, I don't know, they were in concentration camps, they were beaten up and this and that. So nobody, there's no book like a 12-year-old boy saved his mother's life. I mean, never happened. I mean, never. I read some of these books, but I think my story is the only one.
Yeah. And your story is your story, and it is unique to you and your family. And I tell you, you just have a phenomenal story, and I bless God for you sharing it, because you're opening up a world that so many don't know about. And you, what you've done is a testament to God and how you relied, which you didn't know that it was God and the Holy Spirit guiding you, but you were listening and you were tuned in. And so I'm just thankful that you were able to survive and assist your mother. Roman, when people purchase your book, what do you want them to walk away with? After reading that book, what do you want them to know?
They should be as fanatical as I am. I am fanatic on God. I turn over everything to God. I'm really unbelievable. I couldn't survive feeling different. You know, I get up in the morning and I pray to God and I turn over my life. I'm not afraid of death. I'm not afraid of nothing. I have no fear at all. And I'm 87 years old. Who knows what tomorrow will bring? But it's amazing. You know, I'm so glad that I came to this point, because as a child, I know, I mean, I knew, I never gave up on God. But you know, as a child, you didn't know what's going on. I mean, you don't understand. But I was blessed from the beginning. I mean, you can read in a book what happened to me, how this happened, you know. They saw me and they didn't see me, you know, they were blind. You know, the people that want to destroy us, they were blind. So it's amazing. Somebody's doing it. So now I know who
God
it was.
Covered their
Before
eyes.
I couldn't know what was going on.
Yeah. So did you have any help? Did someone help you? Was there an adult? Because you were 12 and you had to survive and bring your mother along with you. Was there an adult that was saying, do this or do that or don't do this or don't do that?
No, we didn't. We just had certain people that we used to go to, which were mostly far away from us. And along the way, there were a lot of Christians, wonderful Christian people, that very few, unfortunately, were very few, but there were some very devoted to us. Like there was Savitsky in Warszawa, in the capital, that was my father's very good friend, and he saved our lives because we were penniless. We didn't have anything. So I used to go to him and used to share whatever he had. And then Gosposha, that raised me, you know, they put her to jail because she was sending packages to us. She was like, I think, 74 years old. She got six months sentence to be in jail because she sent a package to a Jewish family. It's unbelievable. But they were, not naturally, there were some people that helped us. And some people didn't even know who we were, and they endangered their own life. But I couldn't tell them who I was because, you know, otherwise we'd be dead. And they endangered their lives. But later, after the war, I met them, and I told them who I was. They cried. I mean, and there was Yaja in the book, and she was a devoted Christian, Catholic. And she said, you know, it doesn't matter, even if I would know, I would help you. So probably, I don't know, it's a miracle, just miracle.
Yes, a testament of love and God. It was God's love that was really shining and assisting you. You know, I have a 12-year-old daughter that's listening right now because she's in school and she is studying Holocaust survivors. And when she saw that I was interviewing you today, she was like, oh, I want to listen to the interview. And so you are inspiring people. I just want you to know that. And your story, it matters. And I'm so thankful that you are transparent and you're sharing, because you are changing lives, Mr. Roman Ward.
Yeah, I hope that people will learn from that book what it really means you know, that you cannot just destroy other people's lives and just walk away with it. There's no way. And, you know, everybody, you know, a lot of people, they were very religious because of the Holocaust. They just turned away from God. And, and a lot of them turned in. So they say, how come God allowed this to happen? And I said, only when we die we find out what was the purpose, why God did whatever they did, you know. I think because, you know, to have our country, I mean, to have Israel, probably if the 6 million Jews wouldn't be killed, there'll be no Israel. Because the Jews were, you know, the gypsies. They run all over the world, and they looks like they didn't want to give their life to have a country.
And the corruption of man, and when man gets involved in hatred that's in man.
Including my own father. He was not a Zionist. You know, my father didn't care about he was a devoted Pole. You know, he was fighting for Poland in 1918, going chasing the Russians out of Poland because Russia occupied Poland for 100 years. And my uncle got killed, Roman Wiśniewski, like me. He looked like me, and he got killed. I think he was 17 or 18 years old. So,
Well, you are a survivor. You are a survivor. And how can the listeners purchase your book? Where can they go to purchase the book?
they can go hanginghitlerlongjohns.com or ebook on Amazon.
So the ebook is on Amazon, or they can go to hanginghitlerslongjohns.com.
.com.
Wonderful. Sir, thank you so much for stopping by the show, and thank you for sharing your story. God bless you.
God bless you, too. Thank you very much.
All right.
Keep well.
You are more than welcome. All right, listeners, that has been, I tell you, what a phenomenal testimony Mr. Roman Ward has. I want you to go out there to hanginghitlerslongjohns.com or go on Amazon and pull up author Roman Ward. Be blessed by his story, because I know I am, and I know my daughter is too, because she's listening as well. We're going to take a quick break, and then we're going to go right into our second segment. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
Are you a business owner, author, artist, or speaker? Are you in ministry? Join Breathe Again Business Network today. Our network is an active coalition of like-minded professionals that collaborate, communicate, and support one another. For more information, go to www.breatheagainnetwork.com.
All right. Thank you so much for joining me on today. I am Nicole Cleveland. I am the host of Breathe Again Radio Show, and I know you were blessed by Holocaust survivor author Roman Ward. His story is phenomenal, and it just humbles you. So, you know, it's a testament to whatever you're going through right now. God is in control, and he can save you, he can heal you, he can deliver you. He will cause eyes to be blinded and not even see you in the midst of trouble, because he is our protector and our shield, and he is in the midst of all of it with us. So to God be the glory. His story blessed me. So let's go right into our second segment with Shayna Joseph. Now, at the age of 5, Shayna was taken away from her mom due to her drug addiction. She went through foster homes, became violent at the age of 7. She was smoking weed at the age of 12, attempted suicide. At 13, she joined gangs and sold drugs. By the time she was 15, now she fell in love with a famous married rapper, and had a baby at 16. The death of her baby's father caused her to seek Jesus. Her book, A Young Girl's Testimony, From Disastrous to Evangelist, inspires, gives hope, and sets the readers on fire for the Lord. Welcome to the show, Shayna.
Thank you so much. Thank you for having me. What a blessing and honor.
You are more than welcome. What a phenomenal story you have. I was doing some research, and I was watching a few of your videos, and I will tell you, you are on fire for the Lord, and you are just sharing his glory, his goodness with everyone you come in contact with. Talk to me about your background, Shayna. If you had to describe who Shayna was, how would you describe yourself?
I just mentioned a few things about my background, what you mentioned, because I love to make it clear. We all have a testimony. And I believe when you share your testimony, God said to me one late night when I refused to write this book so many years ago, God was pushing me to write this book. And I was always embarrassed about my background, embarrassed about where I'm coming from, who my mother was, you know, the kind of girl I used to be. And God said to me one late night, God said, one man's testimony is another man's tool for survival. And I said, God, what are you saying? God said that even though he's going to make the way for them to escape, he said, I have to give them that open door, let them know how he made a way for me to escape in order to give them hope. And when people look at me, when they look at me, I travel all across the world. I preach at many churches. When they look at me, they just see a young, pretty girl. You don't see anything that I have gone through. And I make sure that I share my testimony wherever I go. Like I said, a young girl, it wasn't just me. My mother has 9 kids, but only 5 of us was taken away at the time, put into foster homes. We were never treated good at these foster homes. One of my sisters was being raped. She was being burnt by cigarettes. I've been in foster homes where they would not feed us. They would not feed us. They made other children give us a bath, some things I couldn't even mention in my book. And yeah. I reached one foster home. We've been through one foster home. Like I said, they weren't feeding us food. We had to eat bones. We had to stand in a corner and eat bones and eat crumbs. Never had a good meal at this foster home. The woman shaved our head off. Now, I'm a person that always had long hair. She shaved all my hair off, and I had a baldy like a boy. I look like a boy. And I began to become violent because as young as I was, I realized I was in a situation that was not right. Mm-hmm. And as young as I was, the thoughts that was running through my mind to run away, to fight, to try and get myself out of this situation, I became violent. I began to fight other children, do harmful things to them. And I ended up in one foster home where I stayed for a few years. The lady was much older, so she was our foster grandmother, and she treated us so well. She tried to adopt us. I mean, she took care of us as if we were literally her grandchildren. But I was already violent. I was bad at this time. I gave her a lot of trouble, and she disciplined me, and I thank God. To this day, I'm in touch with her. And by the time I reach home, in finding out the reason why I was taken away due to my mother's drug addiction and how she, this is a woman that's alive but refused to take care of her children. She was never around. I began to run the streets. I began to go to school when I was only in junior high school, when I wanted, did what I wanted. I began to smoke weed at the age of 12 years old. I got tattoos and facial piercings at the age of 14 years old. Tried to commit suicide at the age of 13. The fighting, the robbing, joining gangs. The reason why I did these things was because I felt like I had to find a place to fit in. And because of the life that I was living, I felt like if I had friends who were in the same situation that I was in, no one can judge me. I felt like this is where I fit in. I fit in with the other people whose parents are on drugs, whose parents are drug addicts. I was in the South Bronx. I was in a bad neighborhood where a lot of people, you know, they got shot, mainly where there was other people my age or older whose parents were on drugs, drug addicts. We got help from the government, lost our apartment. By the time I went home, I was in a foster home for a few years. And lived in a crowded apartment with my aunt, had to share a bed, 5 of us sharing a bed, you know. And I didn't join gangs so that I can actually hurt people. There were times that I was so angry, it did feel good to hurt someone, to release my anger. But after I would realize how can I do such a thing to this person? And again, some things I couldn't mention what I have done in the book because it's so horrible. And joining these gangs, when you don't do what they ask you to do, then you will have it done to you. So certain things I had to do. I had to do even though I did not want to do it. But this was because I was living the life of what I called a street prisoner. And I felt like there was no way out. I'm going to be like my mother is what they told me. I'm going to end up on drugs. I'm going to end up in jail. I'm going to be on the streets. This is what I accepted. This is the life that I thought I am going to live. At the age of 15, I met a boy. He was a rapper at the time. He had videos on BET. He was 6 years older than I was. I was 15 years old. I decided on my 16th birthday that, you know, I would be intimate with him. My first pregnant, had the baby. Well, before I even had the baby, he was a backslider. He was a backslider, and he went to church one day to pay his tithes. And the church that he went to is the same church I'm in to this day, over 16 years now. And when I went in that church, I was pregnant, and I heard the preacher say to me, I heard the preacher preaching, and the preacher said that if you are with a man that is not your husband, it is a sin. It is called fornication. And when I questioned him about it, because I realized he knew about God, he said to me, he said, Shana, one day God is going to judge us for our sins. And I said, what do you mean? He said, well, we're sinning. We're sinning, and God will judge us for things that we are doing. And I began to think, and I didn't want to sin, but I've never experienced love before. I had no mother around. She was in and out of jail. Never met my father until I was 16 years old. He was never in my life. And I'm just running the streets. So here I am. I met this boy, and to me, he's given me the love that I thought I always wanted, or I thought I always needed. But a month after giving birth, he got hit by a car and he died. And before he died, I watched him lay on the ground right there after getting hit by the car. He cried out to God. He never asked God to keep him alive. You know, he never asked God. All he asked God was to let him into heaven. He asked for forgiveness. He called out his sins and he asked for forgiveness in front of everyone right there. And because he was famous, it made the news. And the people from the church, they came and they found me. And when they saw me, they showed up. When they saw me, they said to me, they said, no man is promised tomorrow. They said, now that your boyfriend is dead, where shall you spend your long eternity if you were to die next? And that's all it took for me to understand that there is a God that can give life and can take life.
Praise God.
And I surrender my life to Jesus Christ. I gave my life to Jesus, I got baptized, I got saved, and I never looked back, never. And I stayed in the church, and I served God.
Yeah, so when did the shift happen, Shana? Because you gave your life to the Lord, your boyfriend passed away, and I'm so sorry for your loss. But when did the shift happen from you giving your life to the Lord to you being this national, worldwide evangelist? Because when you go in and you are telling people that they need to be saved and they're accepting the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior right then and there. So when did the shift take place?
Well, you know, even after giving my life to Jesus, I want people to understand that when you give your life to Jesus, that does not mean that everything is going to be all peaceful, though you can be peaceful when you're facing any storm. But when you give your life to Jesus Christ, you become a main target. You pose a great threat to the kingdom of hell. Satan is after you because he no longer has you. And when I gave my life to Jesus, I got kicked out of my home at 17 years old, nowhere to go. My church took me in. I stayed faithful to God. I was a teenager with a baby. Some father died. Nowhere to live now. I'm still in high school. No job. I have to survive. And I thank God for my church. I had to live with a few people until I got a job, finished school. I stayed faithful. I didn't have to look for a man to take care of me. Stayed faithful, stayed pure before God. And God blessed me with my husband at 18 years old. I'm married for over 14 years now. And it's when I realized in my church, they raise you to always preach the gospel. It doesn't matter what age you are. We do not believe and keeping Jesus to yourself. You have to go out on the street and tell someone about Jesus. Tell someone how Jesus saved you so they can learn how Jesus can save them. And I began to go out on the street. I began to go out on the street, and immediately as I began to go out on the street, people were ready, after sharing my testimony, people were ready to give their life to Jesus right there.
Amen.
And I realized, this is what I am called to do. This is what I'm called to do. And in my church, I have leaders who have a heart, a passion to win souls. We're known for the only church who actually sends their whole congregation out across the world. My whole church travels across the world.
The whole church.
We travel across the world preaching on the street corners in different countries. And this is how I started it. And I began to travel the country, preaching, don't know anyone in these countries. We fly in, we preach, we fly out. This is how we do it. And I would go to these countries and I would preach on the street corner and people would give their life to Jesus Christ. Now, I wrote my book, I think it's over 3 years, and I never expected to reach as far as it has reached now. I mean, it's still going. It's over 3 years, still opening up major doors to me. I put a book out there to share, expecting that it would just reach church people. I'll be very honest. I thought it would just reach church people, and that's it. But people began to... the media began to get a hold of it, began to hear about the testimony, when I was with my son's father, I had met quite a few famous people. They began to hear about it. Certain magazines began to hear about it. And it just opened up so many doors for me to preach the gospel and for me to share my testimony. Because we all have a testimony, and I need to reach those who are in the shoes that I once filled to let them know that their past does not dictate their future in God, that it does not matter where they're coming from. God said that he did not come for the righteous, but to call sinners to repentance. So he's looking for that prostitute. He's looking for those who are abandoned. He's looking for the motherless and the fatherless. He's looking for those who are on the street. He's looking for the nobodies, the castaways, those who people say will never be anything. God said he wants you because he's going to use you to reach the world. And that's how he began to use me, because I thought I was nothing. I thought I wasn't worth anything. When people look at me and they say, you're such a beautiful girl, I said, I've never seen it before I met Jesus. When I looked in the mirror, all I saw was hurt, pain. I saw my mother. I was full of anger, until I met Jesus.
Yeah. So, Shanna, how is the relationship with your mother now?
Oh, well, we have a good relationship. I'm still praying for her salvation. She's still, she's still on drugs. My mother has her own past. She's been through certain things, and she's just not ready to actually let God take over. Go ahead.
I think a lot of times when things like this happen, there's a forgiveness piece that has to take place. And a lot of times people are not ready to forgive, but I believe you've already forgiven and let that go, and you're just praying for her salvation. Is that correct?
Oh, absolutely. My mother knows that I love her dearly. I love my mother with all my heart. And I always share the gospel with her, and I always tell her. She knows even, when she has been to my church numerous times, and She has given her life to Jesus. She just hasn't fully given it, given everything to Jesus in order for Jesus to deliver her from certain things and to break bad habits that she has. But I think it's more with her forgiving herself. And she not only does she have to forgive herself, she has to forgive those who have hurt her when she was a child that caused her, those things that was done to her that caused her to turn to drugs at such a young age. My mother is very intelligent, very well-educated. But like I said, some things happened to her in her past that caused her to turn to drugs. And up to this day, she just cannot let go of the anger. And you know what I tell people all the time? When I think about where I used to be, me giving my life to Jesus was not just it. I had to actually give it over to Jesus. And when I gave it over to him, I had to trust that he was going to deliver me from it.
Yeah.
And this is what she has to do. This is what she has to do.
Yeah, absolutely. And that is her story.
We have a good relationship.
That's great. That's
good.
Now, Shana, how can the listeners purchase your book?
Oh, well, my book is sold everywhere. It's pretty much sold everywhere online, from Amazon, Barnes & Noble, ChristianBooks.com. A lot of sites have picked it up. It's in Christian bookstores. It's in the stores. The ebook is available. It's on Kindle. They can also, if they want to purchase a signed copy from me, they can go to my website, shanajoseph.org, and purchase a book from there, a signed copy from there. But the book is pretty much sold everywhere. Once you type in the name, everything will pop up concerning it.
Amen, amen. And the title of that book is A Young Girl's Testimony from Disastrous to Evangelist. So listeners, if you're looking for the book, the title is A Young Girl's Testimony from Disastrous to Evangelist, and that is by Shana Joseph. Shana, thank you so much for stopping by the show on today. God bless you and much success.
Thank you so much. You're welcome. Thank you for having me. Blessings to you as well.
You're more than welcome. All right, listeners, that has been our time for today. I know you were blessed by both of the guests on today. You go out there and you connect with author Roman Ward, Holocaust survivor, at HangingHitlersLongJohns.com, and you can connect with Shana Joseph at ShanaJoseph.org. That's ShanaJoseph.org. This show today was so inspiring, and it was so encouraging because they've gone through a lot, but they've decided to share their story with you so that you will have hope as well. So to God be the glory for what he's doing, what he's going to do, what he's already done. God is so faithful. You know, I never ever say goodbye. I always say until next time, have a fabulous Saturday. See you next week.